Local news and weather every hour on WWGH Radio are supported by Ohio Health.
Hey, it's Weasel. You're listening to Talk Today's Top and Trendy Technology Topics every Tuesday and Thursday with Adam Lepp, the computer guy, between 2:13 p.m. and 3 right here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1.
If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake.
Adam Lepp!
Yes, that is I, Adam Lepp, the computer guy, and someone who can also talk about anything and everything, as we like to do here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. You know, it's really good radio listening weather. A little gloomy, a little cool, as we do approach the end of the month of May. Kind of feels more like a fall afternoon, doesn't it? But that's okay. I don't mind a little bit of gloom out there, because we certainly appreciate the summery weather a little more when that happens. I'm broadcasting multiple ways on this radio program. I would say the most interesting way is through live Facebook video, because you can not only hear my dulcet tones, but you can also see my face. I'm not sure why you'd want to see my face, but in case you are curious, go to Facebook Live Video under my name, Adam Lepp, or Adam the Computer Guy, and you can watch my live video, because it's fun, educational, and certainly will stimulate a brain cell or two. You can also listen the old-fashioned way on your radio device, and that would be on the FM dial, 107.1 megahertz. Tune in. Our signal carries pretty much anywhere in Marion County. And in addition, you can listen online by the power and magic of the internet at our website, WWGH1071.com, on a mobile device. One of the best ways to listen is with the TuneIn app, available free on your Android or Apple iPhone. Smartphone. It'll make your phone very smart, because you will certainly be entertained and be educated, and might even get a little upset at occasional controversial topics that are talked about on this radio station when you install and use TuneIn on your smartphone. I want to thank my fellow WWGH esteemed staff members, The Weasel, also known as Chad H, and our weatherman, Zach F, for watching the live video. Zach wanted me to remind you of a big event coming up that he is pretty much in charge of this Saturday, during the Memorial Day weekend that's coming up. Saturday the 25th. It is 7 months before Christmas. Gosh, time does fly, doesn't it? But it is a Christmas present if you like nature, if you like to learn more about the great Mid-Ohio area that we live in and work in. Marion, Ohio Weather Hike Series at Tallgrass Trail this Saturday from 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. It is a great way to get out and explore your Marion County parks. For more information about the weather hike and about Zach's website that he has worked so diligently on for several years, weather43302.com, with all the 411 on the weather hike coming up Saturday and everything else that Marion, Ohio Weather does in this area and, of course, on this radio station. Now, on this program, we encourage you to call us here at the station, 740-383-9944, and you can talk today's top and trendy technology topics. You can ask me a question about your computer, about your smartphone, about wireless internet, about viruses, malware, adware, spyware, that kind of stuff, operating systems, or maybe ask me for advice on purchasing a new laptop or smartphone or software. You name it, I'm here to provide free technical support. It's how we roll here at The Talking Place. However, I oftentimes ask people to discuss other topics. For example, we can talk about music and TV shows from about 1973 to 1987. You can ask me a trivia question, ask me my opinion, or try to stump me. Now, when I was on with Scott Spears last hour and during the noon hour, he asked me some rather complicated, difficult, and challenging questions regarding music and TV from that period, especially television. And he did manage to stump me, or at least cause me to rack a few brain cells, because I wasn't quite sure what the answer to his questions was. But that's okay. I don't mind the challenge. I enjoy learning things and interacting with listeners. It's actually something I find to be not only fascinating and fun, but educational. Or, of course, feel free to ask me a technology question. The number here at the studio, there's many ways to interact with me. 740-383-9944. You can, if you're watching my live video, you can send a question, comment, complaint, concern, or other verbiage in the comments section toward the bottom of the video. Or you can also send me a direct message, instant message on Facebook. So we certainly encourage you to interact with me in many different ways. And that's one of the great things about being on the radio in 2019. So many different methods of communicating, both with the host and other staff members, with the listeners. Cool stuff. And again, with the weather being a little gloomy out there, it is absolutely wonderful radio listening weather. And I do encourage you to get a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage or snack, turn the volume up, and listen to this show. You will certainly find it to be amusing and quite possibly a little controversial. Before we get to technology news, I wanted to cover an interesting news story that came across my desk over the break. Authorities said Jarrett Stiff didn't pay for trips on the Pennsylvania Turnpike over 2,200 times between 2012 and 2017 and racked up over $120,000 in unpaid tolls and subsequent fines. He is the worst toll evader in Pennsylvania, and now he is being ordered to pay up. The Philadelphia Inquirer, the newspaper there in Philadelphia, reports that Jarrett Stiff didn't pay for trips on the Pennsylvania Turnpike 2,264 times between 2012 and 2017. He is 36 years old from the Philadelphia area. He owes the state over $120,000. In a deal with prosecutors, he pled guilty in April to theft of services. He was ordered to pay over $11,000 and was sentenced to 5 years probation. No attorney to speak for him is listed in online court documents. His case and two others resolved in suburban Philadelphia this week are the latest examples of the Turnpike Commission and their aggressive approach to toll evaders. The commission began pursuing felony charges against toll scofflaws who owed $2,000 or more in an effort to recoup hefty losses from unpaid tolls. So yes, if you go on a turnpike, you certainly should pay. Ohio's kind of lucky. We don't have as many toll roads as many of the eastern states do, or even the Chicago area. So if you do use the Ohio Turnpike, folks, please be a good citizen and pay the toll, or you'll end up in trouble like this 36-year-old gentleman in the Philadelphia area. 25 minutes after 2 in the p.m. here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio program on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, and broadcasting online, WWGH1071.com. And again, one of the best ways to experience this show, and it certainly is an experience, is to watch my live video on Facebook, again, under my screen name of Adam Lepp or Adam the Computer Guy. You will certainly be entertained, amused, and you might even shout at your smartphone a few times if you don't like what I have to say, but that's all part of live radio. The fun, the controversy, the stimulation, and of course, always a surprise or two. You may have heard about 5G, which stands for fifth generation, the latest and greatest in cell phone and wireless internet technology. 4G is pretty fast, but 5G is even faster. I do want to thank a longtime friend of mine, Barbara, from the beautiful little city of Plain City, in the Northwest Columbus area for watching the video. Thank you very much, Barbara, for watching. Hopefully you're being entertained. And a brain cell or two is being stimulated. So we talk about 5G, the latest and greatest next generation of wireless technology, which is starting to be introduced. 5G mobile communication technology could have a harmful effect on weather forecasting in the United States, based on expert testimony presented before a U.S. House committee during a hearing on the future of weather forecasting. I wonder what our resident weatherman, Zach, would think about that. Interference from 5G wireless phones could reduce the accuracy of weather forecasts by 30%, according to Neil Jacobs, acting Undersecretary of Commerce for Oceans and Atmosphere at NOAA, which is the U.S. government's weather agency. Now, Mr. Jacobs made the remarks to members of the Environment Subcommittee of the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology. Now, the effect would be to return forecasting accuracy to the 1980s levels, back when weathermen and weatherwomen could only produce forecasts that were accurate for the next couple days. And then after 3 or 4 days, the accuracy would dwindle. As you may have noticed, we've seen forecasts, and Zach and I have talked about this, 4, 5, 6 days down the road. And they're almost spot on, literally within a couple degrees of what they predicted. And weather forecasting really has gotten better. But with 5G interference, accuracy could be reduced significantly. And we'll go back in time 30 years or more to less accurate forecasts. And obviously, accurate weather forecasting is a safety measure. It lets people like truck drivers prepare for their next trip. Of course, lets people know, are we going to get off of school because of a snowstorm, etc. Lets you plan when you can go swimming, take a trip, do yard work. So maybe the 5G isn't quite so good, or maybe they need to refine this so that it doesn't interfere with weather technology. Consumers and government agencies obviously rely upon accurate weather information, and it also can be important for disaster preparedness and recovery. And that's according to the Aerospace Industries Association, an industry advocacy group, in a letter to this committee, the Environment Subcommittee of the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology. A lot of committees, but that's kind of how government works. They said the interference-free radio frequency spectrum communications that allow for accurate readings make these applications possible. Unfortunately, today's spectrum reality could directly impact the future of accurate weather readings. Spectrum is a finite resource, and as the FCC looks to free up spectrum for emerging technologies like 5G, the risk of interference with existing users rises in both the incumbent band and the adjacent bands. The risks to weather forecasting came to light as the FCC prepared to auction off the 24 gigahertz spectrum. They said while it was a multi-year process to get to the auction itself, it is unclear if the proper testing to ensure that harmful interference with weather equipment in the directly adjacent band would not take place had been conducted fully. Just days before this House hearing, two Democratic senators, Ron Wyden of Oregon and Maria Cantwell of Washington, sent a letter to Ajit Pai, the FCC chairman, requesting that he block any companies from operating in the 24 gigahertz band until weather forecasting operations were protected. And again, we're seeing possible interference between this new cell phone technology, the new wireless internet, 5G, and weather technology. And that would cause weather forecasting to drop in accuracy back to 1980s levels. And that obviously has some serious consequences. To continue down the path the FCC is currently on, to continue to ignore the serious alarms the scientific community is raising, could lead to dangerous impacts to the American national security, to American industries, and to the American people, according to these two senators, Ron Wyden from Oregon, and Maria Cantwell of Washington. They're both Democrats. The FCC began auctioning spectrum in the 24 gigahertz band, despite the objections of NASA, NOAA, the weather agency, and members of the American Meteorological Society, according to these two senators. Those organizations said that the out-of-band emissions from broadband transmissions in the 24 gigahertz band would disrupt the ability to collect water vapor data measured in a neighboring band used by meteorologists to forecast the weather. These two senators said the national security and public safety implications of this self-inflicted degradation in American weather prediction capabilities would be significant. They cited a U.S. Navy report released in March, which found the amount of interference to weather satellites permitted by future commercial broadband uses in the 24 gigahertz band at the FCC's emission levels would result in increased risk in flight and navigation safety, as well as degrade battle space awareness. Now, the wireless industry, not surprisingly, is not very happy with this finding. Obviously, they want weather to be accurate, like all Americans do, but they also want to make some money and advance their technology. The wireless industry has voiced strong opposition to any delays in auctioning off the 24 gigahertz spectrum. The FCC began looking at the 24 gigahertz band 5 years ago and put rules in place more than a year ago, said Meredith Atwell Baker, CEO of the CTIA, which represents the U.S. wireless communications industry. So we want to look at her perspective. And obviously, she respects what weather forecasters do, but she certainly represents the business interests of the wireless carriers. She said during that time, the commission conducted an exhaustive review of all factors, consulted all relevant agencies, and balanced interests accordingly. An auction delay would not change the outcome of that review. It will have the sole effect of risking America's global technology leadership by slowing down the deployment of next-generation 5G networks. Her group also cast doubt on concerns about 5G technology interfering with weather forecasting. Their senior vice president, Nick Ludlam, said, "This is an absurd and dangerous distraction that risks America's 5G leadership in order to protect weather sensors that do not exist and that the government has no plans to launch." The rules for the 24 gigahertz band were developed by the FCC in consultation with NASA, NOAA, and many other federal agencies over the past 5 years. Changing them now undermines President Trump's 5G strategy while doing nothing at all to protect actual weather data. Despite the concerns raised by the scientific and military communities, it seems unlikely they will slow down the carrier's implementation of 5G. Jim McGregor from Tyrios Research, we quote him often, he's a very smart technology person. He said, "I don't doubt that there may be some issues with the frequencies that close together, but I doubt that this will change the rollout of 5G. You have to realize that to get to 5G bandwidths, carriers are using a combination of technologies and frequency bands. This may not even impact all the carriers equally. The FCC should suspend the 24 gigahertz band auction until it solves the problem. Despite the promotional yapping around 5G, and you've heard a lot about the cell phone providers, AT&T probably the most vocal. They are certainly proud of what's going on with 5G and launching 5G, but despite the promotional yapping, according to the experts, sizable commercial availability is still some ways off. The FCC could halt or delay the auction while it clarifies the issue, but instead is going for a symbolic win since the 24 gigahertz auction is estimated to bring in 7 times more revenues than the previous 28 gigahertz spectrum auction. We've seen some previous auctions touted for political gain, and expect more than a little of that is infecting the FCC's leadership and decision-making process. So controversy regarding the 5G wireless technology and very possible interference with weather forecasting. The plot certainly thickens. Bill Menezes, he's from Gartner, a research and advisory company in Connecticut. He said problems arising from spectrum reallocation are nothing new. Whenever spectrum gets reallocated, frequently there is a existing use that may get affected. So the idea that this could happen is not unusual. In the 3.5 gigahertz band, for example, there was an issue with interference from the Navy's existing use of the spectrum for radar, so safeguards were imposed to prevent interference with naval operations. In the 5 gigahertz band, protocols were put in place to keep cellular users from infringing on Wi-Fi users' operations. When a frequency is adjacent to an incumbent, the FCC might set up a guard band and say new users can't stray into that band. As for the 24 gigahertz band, probably reach far beyond weather forecasting. If you think of all the smart devices that are coming out for consumers and agriculture that rely on weather forecasting data, a huge ripple effect if the effectiveness of that data reduced. So, interference from this new and exciting, fancy-dancy 5G wireless technology interfering with weather forecasting. And that certainly is something we need to address and I think is quite important. Let me know what you think. Are you a weather aficionado like myself or Zach, our local weather person? Where are the priorities? Should we maybe suspend use of this band while they get their ducks in a row? I would say we probably should. I'd love to get a 5G cell phone or smart device, but I think having accurate weather forecasts, and weather's obviously improved, the forecasting has certainly improved in the last generation, as Zach and I have talked about many times, and I want to see us continue to do that. The United States is a leader in weather forecasting, and this could set us back 30 years or more, and that's not a very good thing. So I think they need to get their ducks in a row, and at that point, revisit expansions and improvements in wireless technology. We're all on the same side here, and as we've talked about many times, as Scott and I have talked about, we need less conflict, less disagreement, less name-calling, and let's work together. Really does work wonders. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, with news and views from the world of technology here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, 107.1 on your FM dial and broadcasting online by the power and magic of the internet at WWGH1071.com. And we thank you very much for being a loyal listener to this wonderful radio station. I can assure you, it is time well spent. Your ears and your brain will be very thankful. Gospel groups The Raineys and the Gary Lyons Family from right here in Marion in concert Friday, July 5th. That's a few weeks away, but it's well worth marking your calendar. This will be an excellent event. 7 p.m. Friday, the 5th of July at the Dayspring Wesleyan Church, 2431 Marion Mount Gilead Road. Call Gary Lyons for questions. 740-692-1141. 740-692-1141. For information about this great gospel concert, Friday, the 5th of July at 7 p.m. at the Dayspring Wesleyan Church. If you have an announcement for your community organization, your nonprofit, your church, feel free to email us and we'll be happy to put it on the air, adam@wwgh1071.com or scott@wwgh1071.com. We would love to hear from you. Of course, Scott Spears, whom I call the interviewer to the stars, joins you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday between approximately 12:15 p.m. and 2 with trivia, with giveaways, with celebrity interviews. Everybody from Bob Barker to Doug Llewellyn from the People's Court to Ed Asner to Pat Carroll to Maude Starr, recently celebrated a birthday, Bill Macy. We have interesting local people, the mayor sometimes, local politicians and hopeful politicians. Scott Spears every afternoon, Monday through Thursday. And also he joins the Weasel Boy on Friday at about, I believe, 11:15 they get started Friday morning. And of course, as we do on this show, taking your telephone calls at 740-383-9944. Bottom line is, my friends, at this radio station, there is very rarely a dull moment. In fact, listening 24 hours a day is probably a good idea. I can assure you, the boredom factor is very, very small. My name is Adam Lepp, also known as Adam the Computer Guy. We get together every Tuesday and Thursday between approximately 13 minutes after 2 in the p.m. and 3 to talk today's top and trendy technology topics. And we also talk about politics and current events and music and trivia, TV trivia. I'm taking your telephone calls live in the studio. I would love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. Don't be shy. Pick up the phone. Give me a call. You will certainly be glad you did. And of course, watch my live video on Facebook under my screen name of Adam Lepp or Adam the Computer Guy. We hear a lot about Walmart. You know, everybody shops there, and love them or hate them, they certainly have a big impact on the way the retail and the employment spectrum goes in this great country. Last month, in April, Walmart announced that shoppers soon might see a lot more robots in their stores. But the company was not referring to toy robots or even human-assistant gadgets that are available for purchase. Walmart's new robots will be taking over repeatable, predictable, and manual tasks that up to now have been carried out by human employees. At Walmart stores, robots will scan shelf inventory and track boxes as part of the retail chain's inventory management. Now, Walmart is hardly alone in deploying robots or artificial intelligence to handle these mundane tasks. Amazon has increased the use of artificial intelligence in managing its facilities, and in the not-too-distant future, many employees can expect to work side-by-side with such machines on a daily basis. Now, roughly 36 million Americans, that's more than 10% of our population, have jobs that have a high exposure to automation, according to a recent report from the Brookings Institute. Upwards of 70% of tasks done by human workers could soon be performed by machines. Well, not radio hosts, because I don't think a robot can talk as well as I do, or Weasel, or Charlie, or Scott, but if your job can be replaced by automation, you might want to take note. So this shift to automated workers, to robots from a human worker, could affect not only factory and retail workers, but cooks, waiters, and others in food service. Remember that episode on Alice where Mel got a robot to be a waitress? Well, the robot waitress started out well, but then she kind of went crazy. And at that point, Mel had no choice but to apologize to his waitresses and hire them back. So things may have changed since the Alice show was on the air, but there really are some things that a robot can't do that kind of require a human being. So I just kind of want to make that as a note. Short-haul truck drivers and even clerical office workers could be replaced by robots also. The timeline could be from the next few years to the next two decades, according to the Brookings study, but economic factors likely will play a major role. An economic downturn which could compel corporations to seek ways to reduce costs could result in layoffs with workers replaced by machines. This has happened in past recessions, so it is safe to assume that the impact could be more severe with the next economic downturn. Now, with artificial intelligence and robots handling more so-called mundane tasks, what happens to those who typically held these jobs? Well, it's not exactly a new debate. In the 1800s, the Luddites, a secret and somewhat radical oath-based organization of English textile workers, took to destroying textile machinery as a form of protest. Members of the group were born in the harsh economic conditions of the Napoleonic Wars. The group took its name from Ned Ludd, possibly born Edward Ludlam, and it became so strong that it even clashed with the British Army. Now, it's unlikely that the military or even armed security will have a confrontation with today's workers, but the echoes of concern over machinery replacing employees have been growing louder. Is the threat that artificial intelligence poses to workers real? Ramaya Krishnan, Dean of Heinz College of Information Systems and Public Policy at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, and president of Informs, said, "The Bureau of Labor Statistics has a database that lists occupations broken out to tasks, and from this data, we have seen tasks that are suitable for machine learning. What we have to remember is that a job is a role that consists of a bundle of tasks, so a job itself will not be replaced, but some of the tasks might be." It is important that to make the distinction between the job itself and individual tasks that make up the job. That comes from Megan Lamberth from the Center for New American Security. She said, "Tasks that involve routine cognitive or physical activity, like database entry or elements of secretarial work, will be highly susceptible to automation. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the entire job will be automated. Another example would be bank tellers who have had some of their tasks replaced by an ATM. So the question isn't whether or not so much of an occupation will change, but how some of the tasks will be done via technology. Most jobs will be impacted in some shape or form by automation or artificial intelligence. But a smaller percentage of jobs will be completely eliminated by these forces." Different studies on the future of work have reached varying conclusions about the percentage of the American workforce that will be displaced by artificial intelligence and automation. A common conclusion exists in many of these studies. The scale of disruption will be vast, and we have to determine a way forward to manage this disruption. Just as the machinery did not kill the British textile industry, and in fact created new opportunities, there is the argument that artificial intelligence actually could improve the lot of modern employees. Brian Rashid, Vice President of Marketing at cybersecurity firm Centripetal, said, "The auto industry is a good example where artificial intelligence and computerized systems are nicely integrated with human workers. While it is an attractive option to human labor, there will always be a need to supervise, check, maintain, and program these technologies, which will generate higher-level jobs. Depending on the sector, you will see varying forms of artificial intelligence and robotics, but that would be highly vocalized, highly verticalized. Well, vocalized also because they'll be talking about it, but verticalized, like healthcare and manufacturing." Now, an additional argument, and again, this we're talking about replacing people doing jobs with robots doing the job or doing some of the work. There is also the argument to be made that even those replaced by artificial intelligence or robots might have opportunities to acquire new skills. Retraining workers displaced by automation or artificial intelligence will be absolutely necessary as we move forward, particularly for those in mid-career. The risk of retraining and encouraging lifelong learning will have to be undertaken by a number of different stakeholders, including the government, particularly at the state and local level, as well as the companies themselves that are introducing increasing forms of artificial intelligence and automation into their organization. In some cases, where jobs are displaced by artificial intelligence and automation, those forces could lead to the creation of new jobs and even careers. Many of these jobs we have not even conceived of yet. Those at the beginning of their career will be able to learn these new skills and transition into these new careers, but many at the mid-career level will need retraining programs to break into these emerging fields. Now, because it likely will not take on, it will not take a full-on economic crisis for companies to see the benefits that artificial intelligence provides. Our phone is ringing. I love it when our phone rings and somebody calls. Good afternoon. You're on the Adam the Computer Guy radio program.
Hi, Adam.
Hi.
You're talking about AI and all that.
Yes.
I consider myself pretty knowledgeable when it comes to computers and so on. I've replaced hard drives. I've replaced memory and so on and so forth. But I've turned into an iPad guy, and I'm paying for, I think, 50 megabytes of, or 50 meg of storage in the cloud.
Yes.
And how, I guess I'm troubled at how in the world do I use that? I've got a lot of pictures, and I wanted to move a lot of those up into the cloud. And I just don't know how to do it.
Well, that's a good question, sir. And, you know, storing things externally versus storing them in your own home or office on the device you're talking about, like the iPad or an Android tablet or a personal computer or on an external hard drive or flash drive, what are the advantages? In my opinion, the important documents, especially the larger documents, should really be stored locally. When you store something in the cloud, you are relying upon internet access to access these documents. And if you happen to need something because of a crash or somebody requesting a report or multimedia of some kind, you have to wait for it to download. And sometimes these cloud servers get slow, and sometimes they even have a security risk. Regardless of what they talk about with different layers of security, you never quite know, because can you trust the entities that are taking care of these items that are stored on the cloud? And as you know, the cloud, it's really just a buzzword. It just means being stored on the internet. That's all that it is. You know, it's just a word that's been used because we think of it as being in some mysterious location, kind of like up in the clouds. But it's like, where is the data living? But if you store something on an external hard drive or a flash drive or even, well, I don't want to say olden days, but it was 10 or 15 years olden days on a DVD or a CD or before that, you know, in the 70s, we used cassette tape to store data. At least you know where the data is. Now, granted, the flash drive, your dog can eat it, you can lose it, things can happen to the data, but that can also happen in the cloud. Now, generally, these cloud storage providers are reliable, but you really never know. I've personally had problems with data being stored through an online storage mechanism and I've become a little less than trustworthy. In my opinion, if you really want to be sure something is secure, make two copies, get a fireproof safe, and store one copy in that safe and one copy in a general area in your home or office so you have it when needed. And of course, if you need to access these documents, it's a lot faster.
I want something else where I can plug it into the Lightning thing and I can put it on micro flash,
right,
and can transfer it over to my either a CD or whatever on my computer.
Right, and you can kind of go back and forth. And one thing also with the flash drives, you see a lot of people kind of put them on their keychain or stick it in their backpack or purse. if you need to go somewhere else, like if you need to go from your home office to your office at a different location, you can go ahead and plug that flash drive in and transfer the data. We do that here at the radio station. We copy some files from home and we stick them on one of the radio computers to play them or to get a story that we can read. So it allows portability of data. And of course, you could do that on the cloud. You can just log in somewhere and copy the items. But again, you and I have both seen instances where the cloud server is slow, or even worse, it has a security problem. And again, although these cloud providers are normally very safe and they have experts who have taken every possible precaution and have backups, you never really know. I like to see something with my own eyes. And when I have that flash drive and I have that CD, I have that backup hard drive, I know where that data lives. And if there's any problem with it, I can only blame myself. And so you have to kind of balance that. And with these really big files, you don't really.
Well, I think you may agree with this. Like, you're going to back your iPad up or your phone up or whatever, back it up, and it's better to, you know, do it in the cloud. So when you get it, you and turn it, and for whatever reason you had to your disk or whatever, then it will automatically come back onto that device.
Yeah, and that's a little different in that data is a lower quantity. Like when I switched, I got a new Android phone, my contacts, my preferences, my information associated with my Google account, that all transferred just by logging into my account. But that's
right.
But that amount of data is very small in megabytes compared to storing pictures and videos and also personal documents that you might put on your computer. People doing their will on the computer, for example, or their tax returns. The size of the data, the bandwidth needed to transfer it is obviously much smaller. And the good thing about the Google analogously with Apple is you sign into your account, and no matter what device you're on, you can pull the data, and that includes your personal computer, which is very nice. Like I see, my passwords are remembered on Chrome on my home computer, and like they are on my Android phone, and Apple being similar in that regard, but.
Right.
That data doesn't use a lot of bandwidth versus storing these large files, which, again, even in the case of radio stations using the cloud to store their programs, it uses a lot of bandwidth, and you're not quite sure if there will be an issue with transfer speed or reliability or security at the place that you're interacting with in the cloud. So, again, yeah, there is good and bad, but I think you and I would agree with Apple, with Google, Android, keeping everything in one place so you can go back and forth on different devices is wonderful. But you have to still follow some precautions.
Yep.
Okay,
well, just a question I've been wanting to ask you for a long time. Now you're on the afternoon. I can pin you down. I mean to interrupt your...
I appreciate call, sir, and it was perfect because we have 12 seconds left. Enough time for me to thank you for listening. I appreciate that. I'm on every Tuesday and Thursday. Hopefully I answered your question. Have a great rest of your Tuesday.
Okay, God bless you.
Thanks for listening, AdamTheComputerGuy.com.